The last two evenings that it's been my pleasure to speak. We talked first about the ideal father. We learned he was a father of love, of holiness. He was a father who was just, and he was understanding. And we took as our example our Father who art in heaven. And then the other night, was it Tuesday evening, we looked at the spiritual life of the father and the husband. And we did so as we examined the life of the great man by the name of Abraham. And we learned that he was a man of the altar. He knew what it was to appreciate the sacrifice and fellowshipping at the altar. He knew the joy of prayer and fellowship with God. He was a man of faith and of obedience. He was a man of a tent. We mentioned that as far as his nephew Lot was concerned, why, he had his side split in Sodom, but Abraham was content with a tent, and God blessed him. There were lessons there to be learned. And then he was a man of anticipation who looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Great man of faith. Well, this evening, I'd like to consider with you mother. A mother of God. A mother, a woman of God. Helen and I were in a craft store. Well, I want to make my wife happy. I just stop at a craft store. And we were in one today and rather enjoyed a saying that was on a wooden heart. One of those things like a trivet to hang up in the house. In fact, she bought one. And it says this, no woman has ever shot a man while he was doing the dishes. Not saying whether or not she did afterwards, but at least while he was in the act. So fellas, you're safe there. But in all seriousness, I'd like to think with you about mothers. And of course there are a number that we could turn to in the Word of God and enjoy the study of them. But I'm going to direct your thoughts in just a moment or two to one mother. The role of the mother, the role of the wife, is an important role in the plan of God. It's an honored position. I realize that the world says the role of motherhood, of housekeeper, is demeaning. But that's totally unscriptural. God's women. Why? They're charming. They're holy. They're committed. And I repeat, they make an interesting study. I'd like to speak this evening, I was going to say directly to the mothers and the grandmothers who are here. And those who aspire to be mothers and grandmothers. Some of you girls will in the coming day, we sincerely hope and pray, be mothers that God will give the honor of bearing children and raising them for God. And as you listen tonight, I sincerely pray that the Lord will implant within you a real desire, a real passion to be a mother and a wife for God. What a responsibility in this wicked day to be a godly mother. I suggest that every mother needs the prayers of all who are here this evening. Read with me, please, in the book of 1 Samuel, as we look at the life ever so briefly of a woman named Hannah. Shall we read in that verse 1 of chapter 1 of the first book of Samuel? Now there was a certain man of Ramah in Zophah of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, Elkanah's other wife, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 24. And when she had weaned, now having given birth to a son named Samuel, she took him up with her to the temple with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. May the Lord bless to us the reading of this is precious and inspired word. We've read this evening of a woman named Hannah. Her name has a very beautiful meaning. It means the gracious giver. Isn't that nice? What a lovely name for a mother. The gracious giver. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart that God has a special place in His heart for women, for mothers, for those to whom He has entrusted the high honor of bringing children into the world. And He blesses them as only He can bless. Hannah, we will learn, was a mother of prayer. She was a mother with a petition. And finally, she was a mother of praise. What a beautiful mother. As a Jewish maiden or young woman, this dear woman, Hannah, was greatly embarrassed and greatly disturbed by the fact that she had not had the honor and the privilege of bearing children. Specifically, she wanted to bear a boy, a man-child. And why was that? Why, it's very simple. The hope, the aspiration of every Jewish maiden was to have the high honor of bearing the Messiah of Israel. What an honor that would be. One day, that honor was given to a young woman by the name of Mary. But all of those girls who were born previously then came into wedlock. Their desire was, oh, that God would privilege me to bear a son. This was Hannah's desire. And so she was disturbed, and that turned to aggravation when Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, she ridiculed her because Peninnah had numerous children, but Hannah had none. Here they were, living in the same household. And oh, what displeasure that brought to this young woman, so anxious to bear a child. I notice her sincerity. Notice in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, deeply distressed and upset. And what did she do? Two things. She prayed and she wept. She wept with many tears. And many a mother has blended prayers and tears together as she has waited before God with a singular prayer that God in His goodness would grant her the honor of bearing children. And what an honor it is. I wonder, dear mother, dear sister in Christ, has God given you the joy of bearing children? Maybe that there are some, and He hasn't so blessed you. But in His goodness, possibly, He has brought others into your life that you can love and almost call your own. You can shower your love upon them. This woman, with a singular prayer, was concerned about the physical birth of a son. It was an experience that she was to enjoy. But then, I think of those who have been privileged to bear children. And I am reminded of the words of my Lord Jesus Christ when He said, John chapter 3, ye must be born again. So important that you and I as parents, and I speak to husbands and fathers now as well, do all that we possibly can to see our children raised for God and come in to the family of God, having been born into that family by the miracle of the new birth. This mother was concerned not only about the birth of a son,
but also his growth, as we will see. Last evening, Larry very effectively brought before us the importance of children, young people, mature adults growing in the things of God. It's a tragedy when believers have known Christ for 10, 15, 20 years, and yet they show no more spiritual growth than one that's known him for 1 or 2 years. She was concerned for his birth, and she was concerned about his growth as well. Something I want you to notice about this dear mother. She knew where to meet God. Did you notice it in verses 9 and 10? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She knew where to pray. There was a place in her mind and in her thinking. I'm sure not only back in Shiloh, but when she was at the temple, there was a place where Hannah could pour out her grief-stricken heart to God. And she looked to God to answer that prayer. Mother, do you have a place where you and God meet every day? Every day. I want to suggest, my dear sister, that you make it a habit. There are good habits and there are bad habits. This is a good one. You make certain that every day you have that time alone with God where you pour out your heart to him for the needs of the family as you seek to pray them safely through the day and on to glory. Hannah knew where she could pray. And I trust and pray that there is that quiet time and that quiet place where you, as a mother in touch with God, you go to that place. And you know why? I met him there yesterday, and I'll meet him there this morning. Thrills my soul when I see my wife having her quiet time alone with God. I know right where it is. I could almost give you the time of day. And there she is with her Bible, her devotional material, and her prayer life. And it's there. Dear sister, go in for it. I remember Helen telling me not too long ago, I think I've mentioned that Helen is the youngest of 10 children. Her mother bore 11. Lost one at about 18 to 20 months of age. But Helen told me not long ago, I can remember days when I was just a little kid, and I came downstairs, and there would my mother be kneeling at the big chair in the dining room. She was on her knees, and Helen would climb all over her back. You know, mother didn't beat her off. But I am sure that between that godly mother and heaven, there were petitions went up, not only for the other members of the family, but for that little girl who was climbing all over her mother's back as mother was at the throne of God's grace. Oh, mother, let me plead with you today. Pray, have that special time when you and God get alone. And you know the joy of waiting on him. I mentioned, I believe, the other evening when speaking to husbands and fathers, the Lord did not teach us to preach. He did to pray. He did to pray. And oh, that we might take advantage of that high and holy honor of going into his presence. Think of it. I thought of it earlier today. A poor, guilty, pardoned sinner like Arnett McEntee is privileged to go into the immediate presence of God Almighty and breathing the precious name of the Lord Jesus. I have an audience with God, my Father, and so do you. Oh, beloved,
let those opportunities pass by, but take advantage of each and every one. But notice verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. You know, this just wasn't a one-time shot. No, Hannah knew what it was to pray and to pray and to pray again. I noticed the text in the rec hall, just on the wall where the brethren meet to pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God alone knows, beloved, what is accomplished by brethren and sisters who know what it is to pray and to agonize. The thought, effective or fervent prayer, is actively working in prayer, and it accomplishes much. Over in James chapter 5 and verse 18, we read this of Elijah. It says, he prayed again. And another rendering of that verse is this. He prayed in his prayer. He really meant business with God. Tragically, we so often go through a prayer by rote. But not Elijah, not Hannah. They meant business for God. And they cried to God for their specific need. Beloved, today we need praying mothers and praying fathers and praying assemblies to see God at work in our midst. What does it say in verse 15? And Hannah answered and said, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But get this. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Did she mean business? She most assuredly did. There was a man child and she longed to give birth to him. Oh, dear brother, dear sister. Let's go in for praying. Real. Agonizing praying, crying to God. I remember those nights on which the sisters in our assembly met for prayer. And often when Helen would come home, she would say to me, Arne, I wish you could have heard Mrs. Nicholson pray tonight. I wish I could have too. I refer to the mother of Boyd Nicholson Sr. I wish you could have heard her pray. I repeat what I said, I believe, Tuesday night. We will never know what we owe to godly sisters in fellowship with the Lord, frequenting the throne on behalf of their families and of the assemblies of which they're a part, pouring out her soul unto God. What did she want? She wanted a child. She wanted to give birth to a child. Is there anything more important than the spiritual birth of a son or a daughter? Yes, there is. Yours. Yours. You can't pray. You can't pray. You can go through the motions, but you'll get no higher than the ceiling. Unless you know your sins forgiven. Unless you are on praying ground through the atoning blood of Christ. Your prayers, I repeat, go no higher than the ceiling. Let me ask you tonight, dear one. Do you really and truly know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time when you said, Lord Jesus, I'm nothing but a guilty sinner. But right now, I come to you to acknowledge my sin, to accept you as my personal Savior. How about it? Is everyone in this chapel, within this company of beautiful people, are you all on your way to heaven? Sometimes I feel it's good to check the fact that I'm saved. Those who fly know that you purchased the ticket. Then you go to the counter and you check in and you get a boarding pass only.
after all the details have been checked out.
My Savior died to provide the ticket. And I think it's good to check the boarding pass occasionally, spiritually speaking. If I am saved, when was I saved? If I am saved, what were the circumstances surrounding my conversion? If I am saved, did I really and truly acknowledge my sinnership and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Oh, let's make certain, kids, and older ones too, that we're really and truly heaven-bound. Christ is our Savior and Lord. She was a woman with a prayer. She was a woman with a petition. You know, she didn't go from Dan to Beersheba. She wasn't concerned about all the details and all the many things that no doubt crowded into her mind from time to time. No, she was concerned about one petition, the birth of a son, and it was uppermost in her mind. Verse 10, notice it. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she had one petition for a son, and a son only. Dear mother, that son, that daughter, those grandchildren that you have, do they know that as far as you are concerned, that uppermost in your mind is not their material welfare, not their physical welfare, their spiritual welfare, because they've got a soul that's going to live forever, either in heaven or a burning lake with the eternally damned. I wonder if it concerns me as it really should. You know, that concern demanded time. It demanded effort. There was a time when it inconvenienced her. Does it inconvenience me, beloved? Or am I concerned about other things that really, in the light of eternity, don't count for that? We've got the world in our home at times. Tragically enough, someone has said, as far as the prodigal was concerned, he had to leave home to get into the world. May our homes be homes where the world is shut out and we and our children are shut into God. But notice how her actions were misunderstood by the two most important men in her life. First, Elkanah. Elkanah saw her weeping. The man nearest to her, and he loved her. And he said to her in verse 8, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why don't you eat? This concern even affected her appetite. And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Oh, Elkanah, you've missed it completely. This woman wants to bear a son for God. Why weepest thou? But then, secondly, notice the spiritual leader in the land, Eli. Why? He says in verse 14, how long are you going to be drunken? He lacked the spiritual discernment to realize that this woman was agonizing before God. She wasn't under the influence. No, she was crying to God for that which was deepest and heaviest on her heart. Mother, my dear mother, grandmother, you might be misunderstood by those closest to you. You might be misunderstood by your neighbors. You might be misunderstood by the community. But you have no need to apologize when your actions are for the specific purpose of seeing your children go on for God or to be raised for God. You don't need to apologize for taking the chapel on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night as well. Not at all. Why? Because uppermost in your heart and mind is this. I want my boy to walk the streets of glory and gold with me. I want him there
protected by the blood, and I don't care what my hell-bound neighbors think. I'm going to do my best to get my children to God. But I think of the potential of this woman's prayer.
What was it?
Hannah would ultimately bear a son who was destined to be one of Israel's great priests. Mother, God alone knows. God alone knows what that son or daughter of yours can do for God if he's raised for the Lord. And you seek to guide him to glory. God alone knows what will happen with him and the effectiveness he will have in our society. You dear young people here, I thank God for every one of you. And it thrills me when I see you in the front rows of the chapel. But if you've got a mother that's praying for you, and a father too, you get down on your knees tonight and you say, thank God for mother's prayers. God alone knows where you might be if it wasn't for those prayers. You might have blown your mind out with drugs already. You might be in sin of a very gross type. But thanks be to God. Mother's praying for you. And Dad's praying for you. You thank God for them. But she was a mother as well, with a promise. Notice verse 28. Eli is accused of being drunken. She said, no, praying for a man child. And Eli says, the Lord's going to give you your petition. And he did. The day came when Hannah, overjoyed, bore a son. They called his name Samuel. What a lovely name. Now, she has a promise to keep. And in verse 28, she says, having come to the back to the temple, young Samuel, possibly 3-4 years of age, very, very young, she says, therefore, go to 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also, I have lent him to the Lord. I have lent him to the Lord. God had given her a son, and now she was prepared to give that son back to God. Mother, oh dear mother, dear father, have you given your children to God? He gave his son for you. Would you do less than give your son or your daughter back to him? Oh, tonight. If you haven't done it 100 times already, once more this evening, thank God for that child and say, Lord, here he is, here she is. Take this child of mine and use him or her for your glory. I wonder if my children are encouraged by my prayer life. I wonder if Samuel ever saw or heard his mother breathing the name of God in prayer. Mother, I want to encourage you. Let me encourage you. In the morning, when the kids are leaving the house, you make sure that before they rush for the bus, you get them together, put your arms about them, and lift them to God, and commit them to God, first for his salvation, and secondly for his preservation, that God in his goodness would save and bless and keep those kids he has given to you. What does she say? Why, she says, I have lent him to the Lord. I like another rendering. That word lent would suggest to me, okay, you can have him for the first 5 years. And then I'll take him back. But that isn't what it means. It means this. I have given my son, and I have made him over to the Lord. I have done everything I possibly can do to make my son a man that God can use. I've made him over. I've trained him. I've taught him the ways of God, that in turn he might be used
and usable for God. So she built in those things which would honor God. Mother, you don't start that at 16.
When do you start it? You start it as soon as you possibly can.
I have a friend in Western Ontario. His name is Dan. Dan has his second family by his first wife, if you know what I mean. Big gap between the earlier ones and little Dine, who came along a little later. I knew that Jeanette was expecting. I had reason to call Dan, and I said to Helen, I got to call Dan tonight. She said, it's too late. I said, oh, no, it isn't. So I called. I said, Dan, I hope I didn't get you out of bed. He said, no, he said, I'm just sitting here reading to my son. I said, reading to your son? What do you mean? He hasn't arrived already, has he? Oh, no, he said. But he said, we have covenanted before God that we will read the entire New Testament to him before he arrives. And I believe, if studies are accurate, that even before that boy saw the light of day, he heard the word of God. His name is Dine, short for dynamite. He's going to be dynamite for God, that guy. I believe it. Oh, I repeat, Mom, you can't start too early. So start immediately upon the arrival of that child. My heart was broken some time ago when counseling a father that was having some problems. He said this to me. He said, Arna, I have been married for more than 25 years, and I have never once seen my wife read her Bible or pray. What's that tell you? I tell you, it scares me. No interest in the things of God? How are we ever going to raise our kids for God if we don't have that interest and manifest that interest? You, dear young people, raised in Christian homes, no doubt many of you, what a rich heritage you have. I repeat, you thank God for the honor of having a daddy who knows what it is to talk to God and a mother who daily prays for you. Hannah, a woman with a promise. And then finally, she was a woman of praise in chapter 2 and verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. What a theme. What a precious theme. What had happened? I'll tell you what had happened. Hannah had her eyes off the gift and on the giver. She'd been occupied wanting a son. God had given her a son. She'd held him close, trained him for God, given him over to God. And now she says, why, I'm occupied with the God who brought it all into being. Many of us, if not all of us, have been richly blessed of God. Beloved, let us never forget the giver. As we think of our gifts that we've been given, let us never get our eyes off the giver. What praise arises from the heart of the devoted Christian mother when God uses her son in his great and glorious service. I can think of nothing better. I'd like my son, our son and daughter, to be well off as far as the things of the world are concerned, but far above it, I want to see them and their children going on for God, making a mark for him and selling themselves out for him who loved and died for them. Let us know the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us petition the Lord. Let us make promises. Great promises to God, our God who is great. Then let us praise him and thank him for using the likes of us to bring children into the world to be used for his glory. And kids, I repeat, if mom and dad have that singular desire that you as a son or a daughter go on for God, you get down on your knees and you thank God. Pray that God will answer those prayers
and that He will use you for His glory. As Mom, yes, and Dad too, but specifically Mother tonight, as a particular time of the day when you know she's praying for you. And may you pray with her and for her. You encourage her. And you encourage your dad to go on for God and to guide you in your ways to go on for Him. And God will bless you. Let's pray He will. Father God, we thank Thee this evening for Thy love and Thy precious Son. We earnestly pray that each one of us, mothers, fathers, grandparents, children, each of us might have a desire to spend time in prayer, seeing God blessed in our families. We pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.